Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jason!
Hey, watch it, Jason.
Hey, I'm it! It was all horrible!
On Now You Know.
Tesla continues to succeed despite all of our efforts. So how can we stop them? You know what we need to do.
Get the playbook!
Here's the playbook, Master. Can I get you anything else?
A banana daiquiri would be nice.
You have banana daiquiris?
Well, it wouldn't be much of an evil lair if we didn't have banana daiquiris, now would it?
Well, I'll have a banana daiquiri too. That'll make evil plotting against Tesla much more enjoyable.
Okay, now let's
open the playbook!
Let's see, what do we have here? How about one of those old gonna-go bankrupts?
Nah, no one will believe that again. Tesla's much too big now.
All right, let's see, what do we have? How about the oldie but goodie Tesla recall?
Sure, that's a classic. But we need something new to go with it, because it hasn't worked on its own in the past. Dig deep, old boy, and find something we haven't used in a long while.
I've got it. How about this one? Elon will work in the Trump White House.
Yes, perfect. I'll call my guy at the Wall Street Journal. He owes me big time.
I'll get working on the Tesla recall. That should be easy. We run that one so often.
Good evening. In today's news, hang on. This is breaking news just in. Tesla has been ordered to recall over 125,000 vehicles. We go now to our reporter, Terry Schottfield, for more coverage of this breaking news. Terry, you're at the Tesla headquarters in Texas.
Yes, Dan, yes I am. You can see it right there behind me because I'm live and on top of the breaking news.
Tell us more, Terry, about this latest Tesla recall.
Well, it has to do with seatbelts, and the affected models are the 2012 through 2024 Model S, the 2015 through 2024 Model X, the 2017 through 2023 Model 3, and the 2020 through 2023 Model Y.
Oh my God, Terry. Seatbelts! That sounds incredibly dangerous, and that's practically Tesla's entire lineup. Terry, is it as bad as it sounds? I mean, 125,000 Tesla vehicles that'll need to be brought back to Tesla's service for lengthy and costly repairs.
Well, actually, Stan, it's actually not that big a deal. The issue is with audible and visual seatbelt reminders not activating as required.
The seatbelts don't activate, Terry? No, that's horrible.
No. Just the seatbelt reminders. You know, those little chimes that remind you to buckle up?
So, hundreds of people must have died, Terry.
No, actually, there are no known collisions, fatalities, or injuries linked to the issue.
But service centers must be overrun with customers returning their vehicles.
No, actually, Tesla is going to deploy an over-the-air software update in June that will fix the problem immediately without anyone having to really do anything or any work.
Thanks, Terry. Let's now go to Washington, D.C., where more breaking news! Just in, Elon Musk is going to join the Trump administration. We go live now to Barry Brigansky at the White House. Barry, what can you tell us?
Good evening, Stan. As you can see, I'm in Washington, D.C., standing in front of the White House because I'm a reporter, and that's what we do. We stand in front of recognizable things. We've just got breaking news that reporter Emily Glazer from the Wall Street Journal is reporting, quote, Elon Musk and Donald Trump ties are deepening. The two have discussed a possible advisor role for Musk should Trump win the presidential election. Musk and Nelson Peltz have briefed Trump on a data-driven voter fraud project and anti-Biden efforts.
Oh my goodness, Barry. Elon Musk and Donald Trump's ties are deepening. And it appears Elon Musk is laughing about it like a maniacal billionaire. Well,
actually, Stan, those are just stock photos of Elon Musk and Donald Trump. This story is from sources who attended a breakfast at the home of Ira Peltz in March, where both Musk and Trump attended and reportedly talked about topics like border security and election integrity.
Oh my goodness, Barry, you're telling me that Elon Musk was talking to Ira Peltz, another rich person, about border security and election integrity, and Donald Trump was there too. So now Elon Musk is campaigning for Donald Trump?
I don't think so, Stan. I mean, Elon Musk hasn't said anything about campaigning for anybody. In fact, he did say this, though. He said, there have not been any discussions for a role for me in a potential Trump presidency. So really,
but Elon Musk has already served in Trump's White House before.
Well, Musk did serve at Trump's request on the president's 18-member advisory council starting in December of 2016, but Elon then quit in June of 2017 when Trump pulled out of the Paris Agreement on climate change. Elon tweeted at the time, "Am departing presidential councils. Climate change is real. Leaving Paris is not good for America or the world."
So will Elon Musk serve in the Trump White House if elected? If so, what would it be? Border security? Election integrity? The economy?
Well, like Elon Musk posted on X, there have been no discussions about what role Musk would play in a Trump administration. When Musk did serve on the advisory council, he did all he could to advise President Trump on science-based policies.
"Now, all I know about magnets is this. Give me a glass of water. Let me drop it on the magnets. That's the end of the magnets."
Back in May of 2017, he said, "Don't know which way Paris will go, but I've done all I can to advise directly to POTUS through others in White House via councils that we remain."
But if we keep saying Elon Musk and Donald Trump in the same sentence, it won't matter. People will associate them as together.
I suppose that's true, Stan, but is that journalism?
This just in. They're telling me to cut to the next story. And by the way, that is our Patreon poll question this week, so we'll have to see what our patrons think will happen with Elon and a Trump administration.
So with the June 13th Tesla shareholder meeting coming up, it appears that Tesla really wants as many shareholders as possible to vote.
Not only has Elon been posting on X to let you know if you have any questions about voting your shares, but Tesla posted this last week. If you voted your Tesla shares, you have the chance to attend our Giga Texas tour with Elon and Franz as your guides. They say, win a tour of Tesla Gigafactory with Elon and Franz in Austin, Texas. Tour the Cybertruck and Model Y manufacturing lines with Elon and other Tesla executives with a private group of stockholders on June 12th. To enter, simply vote your shares, submit proof of share ownership and voting below, and you'll be entered to win. Or send a postcard as explained below. Only one entry per stockholders permitted. 15 stockholders will be chosen at random.
So it appears that's not based on the number of shares you have in Tesla. It will be a random drawing based on the people who enter, and they don't care how you vote, just that you do vote.
And I think as the voting date approaches, I think it's really important to understand what this actually means to shareholders. So let's go to this post from Homar's catalog. He said, all the 2018 package does is allow Elon Musk to purchase 303 million shares of Tesla stock at an exercise price of $23.34 per share from the company. On a cash basis, it doesn't cost the company anything to pay him. Counterintuitively, the company's cash balance would increase by $7.1 billion if he exercised the shares, allowing the company to invest more and fortify its balance sheet. Sawyer Merritt says, I'll also add that if Elon gets these stock options back, he has until 2028 to exercise them. And once exercised, Elon is not allowed to sell those Tesla shares for 5 years.
And Elon said, that is a crucial point. The shares cannot be sold for 5 years, so it's impossible to cash out.
And if you still need help voting your Tesla shares, maybe Optimus can help you. Tesla tweeted this out. Optimus, going to help you figure out how to vote your shares. Now, we're going to be talking more about CalPERS, which is the California Public Employees Retirement System, which is the largest public pension fund in the U.S., a fund that owns 9.5 million Tesla shares.
We'll be talking about it on Patreon bonus stories, so please join us there. But CalPERS is currently going to be voting no on Elon's pay package.
So here is a petition to get them to change their vote. And I think it's important because if you're a Californian, you are the ones who own these shares, not the person voting them. So sign the petition if you want to vote differently than the way they're going to be voting. And I know this Elon compensation plan is confusing. The numbers are so large, right? $56 billion pay package. But I think it's important to understand that if we shareholders vote for Elon's pay package again, the 304 million Tesla shares have already been set aside for Elon to buy at the $23 per share option price, which is the price, by the way, any of us could have bought Tesla stock when his pay package was approved in 2018. And I want to point out that 6 years have passed and Tesla's share price has gone way up in value, but that's because of the amazing work that Elon and the team have done.
Right. If Elon had run the company the way that some CEOs have run their companies, Trevor Milton, then the stock could be worth less than the option price, and these shares would not be worth buying at the 2018 price.
Right. Most CEOs don't want a plan like this with all stock because they want a guaranteed cash salary. Elon was willing to risk everything on the future of Tesla, and he was right too, because look what it's worth now.
And Tesla has already expensed Elon's pay plan.
Exactly. Tesla's share price already accounts for Elon's pay package under GAAP accounting rules because it's already been expensed.
Because we already voted on it and approved it back in 2018.
So if we do vote to approve the pay package again, then Elon will have to pay Tesla about $7.1 billion to purchase those shares at the 2018 price. Then Tesla will have to pay FICA payroll tax to the federal government for Elon's income. And if you're like, see, Tesla will have to pay something.
Yes, except that Tesla can pay that FICA tax with the $7.1 billion that Elon will be buying his shares for, and there'll be plenty of money left over.
Elon will also have to pay his taxes to the government. And you may be asking, how will Elon be able to pay his taxes since he's only getting stock?
Good question. Elon will probably have to sell about half of his 304 million shares of Tesla stock to pay his taxes.
Yeah, Elon said, the deal allows me to sell enough stock to pay the taxes. The remaining stock must be held for 5 years, so it is impossible for me to cash out and run.
And I just want to go back to, we already voted on this. We already agreed to this. Normally, this would have already been taken place. However, we have a, let's just say, possibly corrupt judge in Delaware who has some friends and wanted to stick it to Elon. This is why Tesla is moving out of Delaware, along with hundreds of other companies, because they don't like corruption in their corporate governance. So they're moving to Texas, and they're allowing us shareholders to vote once again to prove that we are backing up what we said in 2018. And I think that a lot of people think that we are somehow giving Elon Musk $56 billion in cash, which isn't even on Tesla's balance sheet. No, we are not doing that, right? We are just allowing Elon to purchase Tesla stock, which we have already set aside for him.
Yeah, I mean, Tesla's balance sheet actually gets stronger when we pay him.
Exactly.
Hey, and if you like what we're doing on the show, telling the truth about what's going on in the world, hit the like button, help share it with more people.
So it looks like Tesla's layoffs of some 500 employees in their supercharging team has delayed the plans to grant access to non-Tesla brands to supercharging.
Right. Polestar were going to be the next two brands of EVs allowed access to supercharging, but now we're getting word that the layoffs have impacted their timetable.
According to PC Mag, GM and Polestar both confirmed that their access dates were pushed back from spring to summer of this year.
And so GM has pushed back their purchase of its NACS adapters, which would allow their EVs to charge at superchargers. Not really sure what cars we're talking about here, because like the Bolt couldn't really supercharge.
It could 50 kilowatts.
Which means it was going to tie up superchargers a lot longer.
Hang on. Hold on.
Just another hour. And it appears that Tesla has hired back some of the laid-off members of the supercharger team, including George Bahadu, Tesla's senior manager of site acquisition and business development. George said on LinkedIn, 2 weeks ago, I was asked to return to Tesla in my previous capacity, heading up business development and site acquisition for Tesla charging. I accepted. One of my mentors told me to follow my heart. My heart is with our customers, our site hosts, all the stakeholders that make EV charging possible, and the Tesla mission of changing the world. Charging is still one of the main blockers to EV adoption, and there is much work to be done. Over the years, we have forged amazing site host relationships, and I'm excited to get back to working with them to solve this. LFG.
And I just want to point out that George has been with Tesla for 8 years. He has moved up from delivery advisor to senior manager. Now, if you don't know what a delivery advisor is, you haven't taken delivery of your car yet. This is someone who works at a Tesla showroom and delivers people their cars. This, to me, is amazing because in so many different companies, you can't move up, right? It's just like, well, we're going to keep you in that position and you're going to stay there until you leave. And then that's the only way that you'll be able to work up the corporate ladder. At Tesla, he was able to start as a delivery advisor, and now he's Tesla's senior manager of site acquisition and business development.
I know. That's incredible.
This is like some 1950s, like, I started in the mailroom and then I became an executive. And you're like, shut up, grandpa. That doesn't happen anymore. Well, it does at Tesla. And I think that it's really inspiring.
Totally. All right. You've been saying this, Jesse. Is the new refreshed Model 3 Performance a mini Plaid? You be the judge. Check this out. Nico posts this. Yeah, so he says fastest 2024 Tesla Model 3 performance in the world right now. and that's because he drove it on a back road. 0 to 60 in 2.93 seconds he got. Quarter mile at 10.92 with his AC on.
And so, yeah, that's not a track. That's road performance.
Yeah, so the let's be honest here. The Plaid Model S is still a bit quicker at 0 to 60 in 1.99 seconds. But, I mean, the Model 3 performance is so much cheaper, okay? So it starts at $54,990 before incentives versus the Plaid at $81,490. That is $27,000 cheaper. And I think what's important here is there's a lot of 20-somethings out there in the world who don't have $82,000 to throw around at a car. I don't know if they have $55,000 either, but after the incentives, it's a lot closer to reality for a lot of people. And this car is amazing.
Well, I just think to put it into perspective, I mean, this is like, you know, kind of mid-range BMW Audi kind of prices. And
blows away them in performance.
It blows them out of the water. And so you've seen plenty of BMWs and Audis. Why have you seen them? Because they have this brand of being very powerful cars. Oh, that's a sports car. Not really a sports car anymore when you can get a performance Model 3 that absolutely just
crushes
showboats them. Yeah.
All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
All right, we've been talking about a Cybertruck police car. Well, here it is. Cybertruck goes upfit Tesla, introducing world's first police Cybertruck ready for patrol use now here to Mars. Police Cybertruck in real life. So, yeah, this is completely wrapped. It's got the light bars. It's got the lights down there. Are those like running boards or are those just lights down
those
there?
Those are just lights, so you can't step on them.
Remember Bargersville, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
The police force that has 13 Teslas? I think this should be their next Tesla.
I don't know if Bargersville is the right place. I mean, I think that if he wants one, he should absolutely get one. But I just feel like it's so flashy. You know, I think that
– So L.A.? What?
Well, the chief in Bargersville is so smart. He's just like, this is all down to money. I saved $80,000 and right. I can add two more police officers. And nobody can get mad at that. You add the Cybertruck, somebody's going to be like, that's an expensive truck. Probably the other thing to talk about here would be why a police department might want to get a Cybertruck.
Yeah, as Alex says, no other truck but Cybertruck. Take a look at this. And look, a lot of people are like, I'm not going to bang on my truck with a frying pan. No, that's not the point. The point is some stupid YouTuber will do that. But that you regularly, first of all, park your truck in places where, you know, shopping carts hit it, doors open into it, and now you're not going to have to worry about that. But also, if it's going to be a police truck, then people are going to sometimes bang on your truck or shoot at your truck, mm-hmm. and now it's safe.
Bulletproof.
Yeah. And that's where I would want my officers if I was a police chief.
Well, and talk about savings. I mean, if you can get away with not having to bring the cruiser down to the body shop every time it gets, you know, dented,
right.
You're going to be saving a lot of money there too.
Exactly. Hey, find out about all the new Cybertruck news at Cybertruck Owners Club. They help sponsor us here on the show. We love them for it. And if you're waiting for your Cybertruck, and you can see where you are in line with their reservation tracker, which is so helpful if you're like, when am I getting it? So going electric doesn't just mean switching from gas cars to electric cars.
You can also switch how you do your landscaping. Over on our Now Let's Review channel, we just reviewed the Wild Badger 40-volt 4-in-1 string trimmer, hedge trimmer, and pole saw.
Yeah, one motor and one set of batteries can power four different tools for your landscaping chores, like trimming branches and keeping those weeds at bay.
If you've been thinking about making the switch from gas to electric, this might be the ticket for you.
We give you the whole lowdown on Now Let's Review.
I really recommend switching to electric lawn and garden equipment. It's so much better than stinky and loud and smelly gas equipment.
No more driving to the gas station to fill your can. Remember those days when it was like, oh, I gotta go to the gas station. No more gummed up carburetors.
No more adding oil to your two-stroke engines.
So much easier now, so much cleaner, so much cheaper.
So much quieter, too. Please subscribe to Now Let's Review and see if the Wild Badger 4-in-1 is a good product for you.
Speaking of reviews, the Tesla app, you know, that app on your phone that can do everything remotely, like starting your car to monitoring your solar and Powerwall usage.
The Tesla app has received J.D. Power's 2024 OEM EV App Report's highest rating in the premium brand category with a score of 847 out of 1,000. The app was rated using owner surveys and objective data analysis based on features, usability, and overall connectivity.
So if that's true, though, then how did the Ford Pass app score so highly? Because according to this, the Ford Pass app got 810 points and came in third place in the mass market brand app category, but it's nowhere near as good as the Tesla app. I mean, with the Tesla app, you can even summon your car or find your car on a map anywhere in the world. With the Ford Pass app, I cannot reliably unlock the truck. I'll walk up to the truck and be like, okay, Ford, unlock. Like,
I think that the problem is that most owners can't compare, say, the Ford Pass app to the Tesla app because they usually don't own both cars.
I think that's a really good point. If you've never had an app to do anything with your car before, then you get the Ford Pass app and you're like, oh my God, look, it has my truck on it. Wow. Yeah, I found this interesting, though. In the report, it says nearly two-thirds, 62% of Tesla owners say availability of a smartphone app had at least a moderate effect on their purchase decision, up from 59% in 2023. Among non-Tesla owners, only 34% said a smartphone app had at least a moderate effect on their purchase decision.
So smartphone people were more likely to buy a Tesla.
Mm.
It's quite interesting, and I think most people have smartphones. Care about having apps? I don't know. So it looks like Giga Berlin is about to get some new, cleaner trains. Gigafactory Berlin News says the Tesla shuttle with diesel-electric trains will be discontinued in mid-June. There will be a brief interruption to train services as the new trains still need a software update. From July, operations will resume with new battery-electric trains from Siemens. And remember that this train is free. Tesla has paid for the 11-minute ride between Erkner and Grünheide for the roughly 3,000 passengers per day.
Yeah, the train makes 26 trips in each direction every day, and soon it'll be diesel-free too. All electric, baby.
That's what I wanted to hear.
So on June 14th, the diesel trains will be retired, and in July, the all-electric trains should start.
And, I mean, this is another one of those stories that I've never seen in legacy media. They do not talk about Giga Berlin practically at all. And when they do, they just talk about problems. They don't talk about all the amazing things that Elon is doing.
Well, who would want to hear about trains unless it's a deadly train accident happening near you?
Let's see what's going on across the pond with our buddy Will from Tesla Jigsaw.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. Back in 2010, electric car rallies in the UK looked like this. Not a lot going on. Fast forward to today, though, and fully charged or everything electric as the live events are now known, now welcome tens of thousands of people each year at venue locations around the world. Their secret master plan is to host 10 live events each year by 2030, and I'd highly recommend that us lot, the EV and Tesla community, help spread the word about these events. This fun-filled, knowledge-packed three-day festival of all things electric took place in Harrogate, a beautiful area of the UK, and it showcased hundreds of EVs, home energy products, and even an energy advice zone where you could pick the brains of experts. Speaking of experts, I was one too, apparently, as I joined panel discussions with fully charged presenters Jack Scarlett and Robert Llewellyn on various topics. These sessions are full of useful, relevant and interesting topics, from how to persuade stubborn friends and family to go electric to choosing your first EV. This event reached the 100,000th electric vehicle test drive. There's no better place for butts in seats and checking out the variety of EVs on offer than at Everything Electric events. I had to go in a Mustang Mach-E, an Aura 3 and a Volvo EX30, which certainly seemed to get plenty of attention and test drives. But it's the people at these events that I just love. The positivity, the excitement for bringing about a sustainable electric future. It's just wonderful to be a part of and answer questions from folks that are eager to go electric. At the UK Tesla Owners Club stand, we had the full sexy lineup, a beautiful new ultra red Model 3, and I took the calculated risk of parking Bruce very close to a Model X to see these mesmerising falcon wing doors do their thing. Thankfully they did, but bearing in mind the prototype for this was revealed 12 years ago and it still has people in awe of their engineering genius within. I also interviewed David, the owner of this 1999 Toyota RAV4 EV, which predates Tesla, which is a fascinating story of how he came about to buy it after waiting 14 years to do so. Plus, I interviewed Eugene, who brought along this stunning Tesla Roadster. Find those videos on my YouTube channel at Tesla Jigsaw. Once you finish watching now, you know, obviously. Thanks, guys. Back to you.
Thanks, Will. Or should I say, expert Will? Wow, he's on the panel discussions now. Sawyer Merritt posted news. Tesla short seller Jim Chanos is being sued by a partner alleging misuse of funds. Last year, Chanos shut down his fund after 40 years after recently struggling to make profits. His firm managed less than $200 million in 2023, down from $6 billion in 2008.
And Elon said, interesting.
Alex says, by constantly shorting Tesla for years, the fund of Jim Chanos has lost 96% of its value from $6 billion down to $200 million. Never bet against Elon.
Elon said, it's not just that he would short Tesla. He would also push false stories about Tesla in the media, who performed for him like circus poodles. So you may remember some of Jim Chanos' now famous predictions about Tesla, like Chanos saying in 2017, that Tesla equity was worthless and his price target for Tesla was zero.
Or this gem from 2018 where Chanos claimed that the Tesla Model 3 was looking to be a lemon.
As it turns out, the Model 3 was the best-selling EV in the world in 2018, 2019, and 2020, which was right before the Model Y came along.
And Holmar's catalog tweeted out, "Chanos, you dog." And that's because he's referring to the fact that in the lawsuit, it has been revealed that Chanos sold his $17.8 million apartment in Miami without notifying his partners, who, by the way, owned it, and his girlfriend, Crystal Connors, acted as the sales agent, which would have netted her $540,000 at standard commission rates.
And Elon said, "Super shady."
And I think it might be about time to retire our Chanos beans, because they've been on the shelf for a while.
Yes, this is extremely expired. So don't
toxic.
Don't open the Chanos beans, please.
So Volkswagen of America will be delaying the launch of their much anticipated ID7 premium electric sedan in the U.S. Initially, the ID7 was set to make a grand entrance in Q3, but it seems like VW dealers in the country are more meh, then yeah, about the whole thing. John Luciano, a Volkswagen dealer in Texas and a member of the Volkswagen National Dealer Advisory Council, spilled the beans to Automotive News. He revealed that during a powwow with Volkswagen, he said, quote, "We brought up a little bit of caution behind it. Are we sure that this is a good idea? We didn't know an exact pricing, but it's definitely a $50,000 to $60,000 car without incentives. Is there any chance of it being competitive? And we felt like it's not." Luciano also let it slip that dealers were a tad disappointed with the ID7. They were expecting something more futuristic, sleek, and spacious, like the ID Space Vision concept. Remember that in 2019? Mm-hmm. But when they saw the ID7 last year, it was more of a sedan than a spaceship. And Luciano said, "It's still pretty much a sedan." Anthony Scala, another Volkswagen dealer from Chicago, chimed in saying, "I just don't think an expensive electric sedan is in the cards for most Americans right now. North of $50,000 for a sedan that doesn't have the Star logo, the Ring logo, or the BMW logo, it's a non-starter." In the end, Luciano summed it up by saying, "We would love to have more models. We have always wanted to have more models, but we need models that will actually get out into the market and work. But that wasn't going to work with no incentives." Ouch.
Ooh. So this wasn't me saying this about the ID7.
No. And by the way, I just wanted to point out that is an actual photograph of John Luciano. This is not doctored by our editors. That's on his LinkedIn. That looks like Han Solo.
That is
with the gun.
So cool.
That is so cool. Yeah.
I mean, he knows what's cool.
He knows what's cool.
Obviously. I don't know why he's standing in front of that car, but the ID7, apparently, according to him, is not cool.
No.
So I just thought we would take a look at the VW lineup of EV models that are available in the United States right now.
That's great. Okay.
All right. So you got the ID4, mm-hmm. starting price $39,735.
Nice.
All the variants qualify for the full $7,500 federal tax credit because they're made here in the United States in Tennessee.
Oh, that's great. So what other EV models does VW offer?
Well, I mean, like I said, they have the ID4.
No, I heard. What other ones?
They have multiple different variants.
No, I know.
Of the ID4, so you got the all-wheel drive Pro.
I mean, but what other models?
The S.
No, I know. We've driven in the 4. I'm not impressed with it. What else could I get?
That's VW. It. That's it's.
No, no. What other electric models could we get in the U.S.?
Right. You could get the standard.
No.
It's not like a standard.
I know those are the variants of the ID4.
The ID4. That's all they have.
Right. Now, can you show me the next page?
There's no other pages. It's just the ID4. That's the only electric car that
Volkswagen because I've been
sells.
Hearing about like the ID7 and the ID3 and like, where are they?
Europe.
This is all you can get
in
America?
That's all you can get in America. Yeah. And I mean, great starting price, right? Goes up from there, but you do get the incentive.
Hey, if you want to share what you've seen on the show, but you don't want to share the whole show, head on over to a Now You Know Clips channel on YouTube, separate channel, or go to X, where we have a lot of these chopped up into bite-sized clips that are easy to share. All right, let's go to some SpaceX news. We got SpaceX's 350th launch. Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible.
Qatar Airways raises in-flight experience to new heights. They are proud to be putting Starlink into their planes.
And we'll be hearing a bit more about Qatar later in the show.
Last week, we reported that Carnival Cruise Lines has added Starlink to all of their fleet. Now, Resorts World Cruises has also announced that it'll be adding Starlink to their ships as well. Resorts World Cruises served 1.8 million passengers in 2022, although I think they only have two ships. So I don't know if it was like, get on the ship, get off the ship, get on the ship, get off the ship.
They're big ships.
And speaking of Starlink, Elon said Starlink just achieved a new internal median latency record of 28 milliseconds yesterday. Great work by the engineering and operations team. And if you're not a techie, that is close to landline speeds for the internet. Elon reposted SpaceX, Starship, and Super Heavy loaded with more than 10 million pounds of propellant in a rehearsal ahead of Flight 4. Launch is targeted as early as June 5th, pending regulatory approval. And then he tweeted out, Starship Flight 4, with many improvements, aiming to launch on Thursday. Yes, this Thursday. The main goal of this mission is to get much deeper into the atmosphere during reentry, ideally through max heating. And on Friday night, Mazawa canceled the Dear Moon mission to fly himself and a handpicked crew of 10 artists and influencers around the moon in Starship, saying that the project became unfeasible due to the lack of a clear schedule in the near term. And Everyday Astronaut, who's going to be one of the crew members, said, and just like that, the dreams of my crew are over. So a lot of people have been asking, like, why did he cancel this? There's a great article by Eric Berger in Ars Technica. I urge you to go read it. Basically, I think one of the reasons is that Mazawa has lost a lot of his value. He was a $3 billionaire back in 2018, and now he's like a $1.5 billionaire. So
gotta tighten the belt somehow.
Let's not do Netflix.
maybe lower the moon mission.
Oh yeah, the moon mission.
Let's
not do the moon mission.
Because then we could keep Disney Plus.
Also, he did fly in a Soyuz capsule in 2021, so maybe he got like space out of his system. I don't know.
Maybe he didn't.
But
like
the
it.
Weird thing is, earlier this year, Elon unfollowed him on X. So I feel like there's been a little falling out there.
I mean, I feel like Mazawa should be more upset at like the FAA.
I think he was glad to get out of it, to be honest. What I think is going to be interesting is, will Jared Isaacman pick up the tab and get his flight around the moon? I think that's what he should do.
Definitely.
And Jared, if you're looking for crew members, huh?
Everyday Astronaut.
I make a mean cup of coffee.
Everyday Astronaut, do him first. Yeah. He deserves it.
The New York Times published, Elon Musk dominates space launch, rivals are calling foul. Or as Michael Madrid sums it up, please help, SpaceX is competing too good. Dan Piedmont, the founder and president of Able Space Systems, replied, as a founder of a launch company, I disagreed with the thrust of this New York Times article. I admire SpaceX and welcome their success. And Elon said, thank you for your thoughtful rebuttal. To the best of my knowledge, none of the rideshare missions have lost money. I do hope that rocket companies focus on reusability. And basically, I'm going through this tweet storm here because it turns out Everyday Astronaut is going to be meeting with Elon this week, I believe it is, and doing another tour of Starbase. So look forward to that. We'll be learning a lot about what's going on. And maybe Elon will offer Everyday Astronaut another ride. Who knows? Oh, and just wanted to make sure you knew this. Starship is ready to fly. Mm-hmm. That's going to be so exciting. SpaceX posted this on May 21st. The first video call on X completed through Starlink direct-to-cell satellites from unmodified mobile phones.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
We're excited to go live with T-Mobile later this year.
And now in an FCC filing, SpaceX references that Starlink's direct-to-cell should launch this fall.
That would be text, voice, and web browsing via satellite. So even if there's no cell towers around you, you could still use your phone. So if you're lost in the wilderness, you might be able to get yourself out.
So, I mean, you could be in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from shore, and you could still be playing Clash of Clans.
All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
This is the wonderful Henson Shaver. If you would like to pick one up, you can get one, and you can get a box of 100 blades. That is 200 shaves because they're double-sided, and you can get that box for free. Use the code NOWYOUKNOW at checkout, and you will get it for free.
It's a great Father's Day present. Escape into the future. So Neuralink posted, Neuralink's patient registry is now open in the UK. Join us in shaping the future of brain-computer interfaces by learning more and applying today. So eligible participants in the UK include adults over 18 with conditions such as quadriplegia, paraplegia, vision loss, hearing loss, inability to speak, or major limb amputations. And so what you're going to be getting would be telepathy, which is what Nolan Arbaugh has, which is allowing you to use tech devices using your mind. There's another product coming out maybe soon, which would be Blindsight, which Elon has teased, which that would allow patients who can't see to see again. So we're just telling you guys about this in the UK because you can already apply in the US to be on the list. But now in the UK, you can also get on the list.
I'm just so excited that Neuralink could be bringing like meaningful change to people's lives who have like had horrible things happen to them or have their bodies not work the way that they
would like. And this is just, these are the baby steps. That's the crazy part to me, is that as amazing as these strides are, they are just baby steps in what can be achieved with Neuralink.
All right, it's time for Going Green.
So let's turn our attention to the tiny nation of Qatar, which is here on the Arabian Peninsula.
Okay, why are we turning our attention to it?
Well, I thought it was cool that Qatar just got their first Tesla showroom in the capital of Doha.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, it's really funny. I know nothing about Qatar except that it's hot and sunny most of the time.
It's about the size of Connecticut, and it has a population of 2.7 million. Hmm. It also has a really high GDP per capita of $83,000. By comparison, the U.S. has a GDP per capita of $76,000. Qatar makes most of its money from exporting natural gas. It's the second largest exporter of natural gas in the world. Qatar did just build this.
What is that?
That is the first solar farm the size of 1,400 football fields, generating 800 megawatts peak power. That's 2 terawatt hours per year.
Wow.
Enough to power 10% of the country with its 1.8 million solar panels.
Wow.
Tesla plans to open 2 superchargers in Doha this year, and Tesla already installed a 1 megawatt megapack system for the Qatar General Electricity and Water Corporation back in 2020.
Well, that's cool. So another country of Tesla owners and Tesla superchargers. None yet, I guess, but hopefully soon at the end of the show, we'll be mentioning Doha.
Yes.
So we've been getting messages from our viewers who don't live in North America that also want the awesomeness of the EVject escape connector, but don't live in Knaxville. Knaxville. Well, I've got news for you.
So what is the EVject escape connector, you ask?
This. It helps you stay safe when charging.
You just attach the EVject connector to the charger head before plugging in. If something sketchy happens while charging, simply hit the lightning bolt button on your screen, which disconnects the charger. You shift into drive, and the EVject connector will break away, allowing you to drive away, all without damaging the charger or your car.
Now, obviously, we hope that nothing sketchy ever happens when we're charging, but the problem is that with EVs, when you're in your car plugged in, you can't drive away without getting out of your car and unplugging the charger.
And that exposes you to whatever the danger is. Drunk people, bears, flying monkeys, a fire, who knows?
And remember, Father's Day is coming up on June 16th. And if you have a dad who drives an EV in your family, the EVject escape connector makes the perfect gift so that your dad won't be a sitting duck again.
And if you ever need to use it, our friends Craig and Eric at EVject will send you a new one for free.
So don't hesitate. Order your EVject today at EVject.com. Use our referral code NYK to save you 50%.
That's right. Half off for our viewers with our code NYK at checkout. And I think I cut you off. You said you have an EVject update?
Oh, right. Yes. So Craig and Eric are testing their non-NACS CCS EVject connector in France as we speak.
Oh, so you're the European.
Yes. So anywhere in the world, hopefully soon, you'll be able to use whatever EV on any charger and get out of Dodge when you need to, or get out of Knaxville. All right, it's time for sunspots. So Tesla Energy has been stepping up their advertising game recently. You may have seen this video a couple months ago that Tesla put out. It's the Tesla Powerwall 3 operating in over 2 feet of water.
Just in case you're worried that you couldn't have a relaxing breakfast during a flood, I guess.
Well, apparently you now can. Now Tesla's released a new advertising video for its new Charge on Solar feature. As Tesla posted, use your excess solar energy to charge your vehicle.
So the video features Rick, a Tesla customer of 10 years who lives in the UK and owns a Model Y Performance, 4 Powerwalls, and has solar on his roof. Rick talks about how he can use the Tesla app to have excess solar energy that his house isn't using to be sent to his Tesla Model Y for charging automatically.
It is a really cool feature, especially in places where the grid isn't going to pay fairly for the solar energy that you're pumping back onto the grid on a sunny day.
Right. So let's say in like California, where many people with solar on the roofs are only getting paid like 2 cents per kilowatt hour for pumping energy back onto the grid, when they're paying 28 cents per kilowatt hour to buy power from the grid.
Right. Because Rick owns 4 Powerwalls. That's about 54 kilowatt hours of storage. But his Model Y Performance has about 75 kilowatt hours of storage.
So it's like he owns another 6 Powerwalls.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really good argument for those people who are like, yeah, but if I have solar, then, you know, I don't make any money pumping it back into the grid. It's like, yeah, pump it into your car instead.
Right.
And if you'd like to get solar on your roof, batteries on your wall, but you have lots of questions and you don't know about all the tax rebates and the SRECs and all that stuff, talk to our friends at EnergyPal. They know who to go with for installers. What are the best panels in your area? All that stuff. They'll help you walk you through all that for free. Tell them that Zach and Jesse sent you. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories, and we need your stories. Remember, send them to us 2 minutes or less. Shoot them in landscape with good audio and no music. Send them to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. And I think John sent us one.
Yeah, let's just check it out.
Okay.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. I just want to show off a little conversion project I did, which is a Bearcat chipper. As you can see here, it's got a it had a 6.5 horsepower gas motor. And then I swapped that out for a 3 horsepower electric motor, single phase 240. And then got that working. We basically run the cord over to an outlet on the back of the garage, because this is where we do all our chipping, next to the compost pile. And so now I'll go ahead and fire it up and we'll see how it works. It's been working great for years, and it's much less maintenance, except for just sharpening the blade once in a few years. I should mention that this 3 horsepower electric motor has got way more torque than the 6.5 horsepower gas motor, as one would expect. All right, now you know.
Oh, we got to build one of those right now. Let's stop the show and go build one. John, that's so inspiring.
That is so cool.
That looks really cool.
Looks a little dangerous. I'll be honest, but it was probably dangerous with the gas engine on it.
Wow.
That's fun.
That's really fun.
I remember being in a conversation with someone, and they're like, "You could never replace a chipper, like a wood chipper. You could never replace
it's
it with electric
the horsepower, and it's more powerful because it has more torque." Awesome job, John! All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. We got so many this week. Like,
is Giga Mexico still coming?
Elon on Ozempic,
and will Elon get his pay package? And more.
Yeah, you can see all of our Patreon bonus stories for as little as $1 a month. That helps support the work we do. And you're missing out if you don't join us. So please go over to patreon.com right now and help support us. We'll see you there. It's a Patreon. All right, we're back from the Patreon bonus stories. We had a poll this week for our patrons only. And what was the poll?
Do you think that Elon will serve in a Trump administration? No, no, they do not.
But if he did, he'd be the director of artificial intelligence, which I think would be cool.
That actually makes sense.
Actually, a lot of those make sense. I mean, chief of Space Force would be really cool. I'd be afraid if I was another country and Elon was in charge of our Space Force. You want to fuck with my satellites?
They're afraid of Elon regardless. He doesn't need to be in charge of the Space Force.
All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. And Techno Dodge says, I quote from Elon, "I'm dumb way more often than I'd like to be."
And Elon says, "Yeah, like right now."
Rothsma says, "When your Neuralink chip gets hacked."
Elon says, "We would never give you up or let you down."
Doge Designer says, "If WhatsApp is end-to-end encrypted, why did I receive an ad for shoes on Instagram after talking about shoes on WhatsApp? Last time I asked this question, WhatsApp blocked me from their X account."
And Elon said, "Just a coincidence."
Elon said, "Join XAI if you believe in our mission of understanding the universe, which requires maximally rigorous pursuit of the truth without regard to popularity or political correctness."
Jan LeCun says, "Join XAI if you can stand a boss who claims that what you're working on will be solved next year, no pressure, claims that what you're working on will kill everyone and must be stopped or paused, yay, vacation for 6 months, claims to want a, quote, maximally rigorous pursuit of the truth, but spews crazy-ass conspiracy theories on his own social media platform."
Dave Hayes says, "Not a good look. Maybe explain what you have against Elon."
"I like his cars, his rockets, his solar panels, and his satellite network. I very much dislike his vengeful politics, his conspiracy theories, and his hype."
Julianne says, "Jan, with all the respect I have for your work, and as one of the few who convinced me to learn about machine learning more than 15 years ago, why don't you start your own AI company and try to do good? Staying at Meta and telling others they are wrong is a bit odd, no?"
And Jan says, "I'm a scientist, not a business or product person."
Elon says, "What science have you done in the past 5 years?
And Jan says, "Over 80 technical papers published since January 2022. What about you?"
Elon says, "That's nothing. You're going soft. Try harder." And Pedro says, "A couple things like developing Starlink, Falcon 9, active development of Starship, the biggest EV company that pushed the rest of the industry to move to electric, stationary batteries, allowing a quadriplegic to be able to control computers and gain some aspects of independence again, among other things that have humanity-wide impact, not looking too shabby if I say so myself."
And Jan says, that's engineering and product development, not science.
Elon says, this is one of the dumbest things anyone has ever said. And then they get into a whole fight for the whole week, basically. And Elon started making fun of him. He said, Jan is like if Pepe Le Pew had a severe case of Tourette's and DKE.
Jan says, Elon won't die bitter and forgotten, but many engineers and scientists working for him might.
And Elon says, Jan is just following orders.
And Jan says, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with working at Meta, which... That's funny.
Vittorio says, publication doesn't make something science. Peer reviewing doesn't make something science. What makes something science is if this scientific method is followed.
And Elon said, exactly.
Robert Scoble says, in the old days, I would have something to say about LeCun and Elon and what they are writing to each other. The new me, going to Santa Cruz in my autonomous vehicle to shoot pictures of surfers instead.
And Jan says, yes, but the other men invented a key technique that made autonomous driving vehicles possible. Convolutional neural networks. Convolutional nets are used in just about every real-time vision system today. For driving assistance, they've been used by Mobileye since 2014 and by Tesla since blah, 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 blah.
And Elon says, we don't use CNNs much these days, to be honest.
Jan says, so much misunderstanding out of this content.
And then Jan kept going back and forth, and Elon said, my honest reaction. And then Jan says, you don't mean to tell us that you stink, do you? It just devolved from there. Eva said, Tesla shareholders who voted to approve Elon Musk's compensation package when the company began its development and now vote against it when he led Tesla to success, achieving all the goals set then, are bags full of crap.
And Elon said, they are oath breakers.
Cash says, wait, why is there something rather than nothing at all?
And Elon said, that is the most profound question of them all.
Robin says, John Clauser, 2022 Physics Nobel Prize winner, I can very confidently assert there is no climate emergency. As much as it may upset many people, my message is the planet is not in peril. Atmospheric CO2 and methane have negligible effects on the climate.
Elon says he is right in the short term, wrong in the long term. It will take a massive amount of carbon transferred from deep underground to the surface cycle to change the surface chemistry. Nothing else matters, so we should leave the farmers and cows alone and generally stop freaking out about climate change, moving gradually towards sustainable energy generation, solar and wind, and consumption. Electric transportation is fine. No need to panic.
Henry says, just got doxxed to within 15 miles by a vision model from only a single photo of some random trees. The implications for privacy are terrifying. I had no idea we would get here so soon. Holy shit.
Elon says the computers will know everything.
Joe Biden says the future of electric vehicles will be made in America by union workers.
Elon says Biden cares a lot more about whether Tesla is unionized than whether Tesla is saving the environment.
Simon says, your reaction. Robert De Niro clashes with Trump supporters outside courthouse in New York, tells them, you are gangsters, you are gangsters. Trump supporters respond, you're a little punk, you're a nobody, your movies suck, you're trash, you're done.
Elon says, De Niro's out of touch with the people.
Homar's Catalog says, Sam hasn't tweeted since this. That was May 18th when he says, in regards to recent stuff about how OpenAI handles equity, we will never claw back, blah, blah, blah.
Elon said, noted.
Yeah, so he's been silent for a while. Ira Enrenpriest says, so impressed with my Tesla visit. This is a model of how to drive continuous innovation and environmental improvements, and the team has definitely put the fun back into work, thanks to the great team that Elon has built here in Berlin and globally. And he says, doesn't get more fun than a slide. James says, breaking, the UK government has banned the private prescription of puberty blockers for children. This, coupled with the recent NHS ban, means that no new children in the UK should be able to access the drugs. This is seismic. Child safeguarding is being restored.
And Elon said, thank goodness.
Gavin Baker says, copper when you can, optics when you must, is the AI version of switch you can, route when you must, except there will be much more of the must, i.e. optics, over time with AI as clusters grow inexorably larger.
And Elon said, liquid cooling allows for a much denser layout, allowing for more copper / GPU, but there is still a shocking amount of optics needed.
David Sachs says, Fauci lied, millions died, but Trump is the one on trial for his life on sham charges.
Elon said, insane.
Doge Designer says, the house of the world's richest man, Elon Musk.
Elon said, that was my primary residence for 3 years, building up Starbase from an empty sandbar to rocket factory and launch site.
Cremieux says, statistics in Korea released new South Korean birth rate today. It's really bad. Q1 births were down 6.2% compared to last year. The world record lowest fertility is in Korea, and they apparently still haven't found the floor.
Elon said the birth rate collapse is happening almost everywhere.
Chrome says, be honest, how many tabs do you have open right now?
And Elon said, 3.
That's it? I usually have like 30. Cody James says, Japan received their first F-35 and a Shinto priest blessed it.
Elon said, when push comes to shove, it will be about the drones. Putting humans in aircraft just slows them down.
Elon Musk says, embrace cringe. And then Elon laughed at the Joe Rogan podcast, which had two optimists talking for a while. Miguel says, you know, I didn't think the Internet Archive was like an actual place.
And Elon says, worth going. It's awesome.
Ian says the Abrams is hot garbage. Abrams tanks are woefully unsuited for warfare in Ukraine. CNN reports that Ukrainian commanders and tankers are disappointed with the performance of the tanks, which lack sufficient armor and firepower. Russia has blown up at least five of them.
Elon said any vehicle with humans in it is a death trap.
Zero Hedge says Kim Jong-un sends hundreds of filled balloons into South Korea.
Elon says major troll points.
Zero Hedge then says sixth U.S. Reaper drone falls into Houthi hands.
Elon says that design is getting stale.
Bloomberg posted this article about Musk counsels Trump on crypto in sign of billionaire's influence.
Elon said, pretty sure I've never discussed crypto with Trump, although I am generally in favor of things that shift power from government to the people, which crypto can do.
Rand Paul says big spending Republicans want to explode military budget. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Both parties are to blame for the $34 trillion debt.
Elon says both parties are indeed responsible for excess spending. It is extremely alarming that interest on national debt now exceeds the Defense Department budget. If this keeps going, the whole budget will be interest.
Geiger Capital says the first felony conviction of a former U.S. president wasn't for the Iraq or Afghanistan wars, illegal CIA coups, drone strike weddings, or spying on Americans. It was because Trump misclassified $130,000 payment for a porn star's NDA. Tells you everything you need to know.
Elon said, indeed, great damage was done today to the public's faith in the American legal system. If a former president can be criminally convicted over such a trivial matter motivated by politics rather than justice, then anyone is at risk of a similar fate.
Enrique says, I hate mint chocolate chip.
Elon says, but chocolate chip cookie dough is amazing.
Rasmus posted this meme, and Elon said,
an authentic compliment means a lot.
Zero Hedge says Biden allows Ukraine to use U.S. weapons to attack inside Russia in highly dangerous escalation.
Elon says, what's the end game here? Just keeps escalating.
Oh, and then in response to Elon's tweet about the Trump conviction, J.K. Rowling says, deleted my previous tweet because I was rightly corrected. Previous criminal tax fraud convictions were about Trump companies, not Trump himself. I still struggle to see why it's a trivial matter if a billionaire falsifies their business records, though, whatever the context. And Elon said, in a vacuum, that would be accurate and would also not matter whether someone was a billionaire or not. There is implied pejorative in that word. However, as I'm sure you've observed, judicial resources are limited, often leaving serious crimes where victims were directly harmed, unprosecuted. Yet there is no actual victim in this crime. It is obviously politically motivated with the goal of undermining democracy by preventing half of America from voting for their preferred candidate. I have never provided financial support, nor have I voted for Trump. My views on this matter would be the same for any candidate. Then this article about the progressive Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg downgraded staggering 60% of felony cases to lesser charges last year. And Elon said,
many of these were violent crimes with victims who will never fully recover.
David Sachs says agenda of Soros DAs is to release repeat offenders, prosecute political opponents, anarcho-tyranny.
Elon says the Joker playbook.
Intelligencer said prosecutors got Trump, but they contorted the law.
Elon said hard to view this as anything other than an abuse of the law for political purposes. And then he went on to say the prescriptions of Marius led to the prescriptions of Sulla.
And there's a lot of Roman history you'd have to know to understand that, but he is right. Joe Biden says no one is above the law. Robbie Starbuck says exceptions to this include Fauci, illegal aliens, every single person on the Epstein client list, your son, you, your brother, the person who left cocaine at the White House, Obama, Bush, the Clintons, every elected official, insider trading, Big Pharma, the WHO, and George Soros.
And Elon says there seems to be quite a few exceptions.
Into that same quote, Jordan Peterson said, I suspect you may find that out before your time is over.
And Elon says fate loves irony.
Gally says, FSD is too aggressive for me, even chill mode. Can we have turtle mode that is super duper cautious and slow? The perception of FSD safety is challenged by rapid acceleration and jerky moves. Everyone should start on turtle mode.
Elon said, full self-driving will have chill, standard, and hurry modes.
Oh, so that's new information.
Hmm.
Stephen King says, a married man in late middle age spent the night with a younger woman. Contrary to the strident claims of Republican politicians, Biden wasn't in bed with them. Short form, Trump brought this on himself.
Elon says, but do you think there is equal enforcement of the law?
Jack Posso said, in 2022, Hillary Clinton quietly settled a campaign finance violation over reporting the Steele dossier funding as legal services. She paid a fine and was never even charged with anything. You will never find a Democrat who has a problem with this.
Elon says, this seems like a double standard. The Steele dossier was unquestionably election interference.
Jack says, this is Gary Gensler. He was the Hillary official who oversaw filing payments for the fake Steele dossier as legal expenses. He is now chairman of the SEC.
Elon says, so the principle is a trial for thee, but not for me.
Jan LeCun tried again to engage Elon, and Elon said,
who are you again? I keep forgetting.
Andre Kott says the number one company in defense I haven't seen made yet is a viable anti-drone defense. And the only realistic solution from a cost per shot and target tracking perspective are lasers. Who's building this?
Elon says lasers from space, perhaps.
Oh, does this mean Elon wants to be in charge of the U.S. Space Force? Peter Diamantis.
Breaking news.
Peter DiMatta says sugar is poison. The human body never evolved to consume the amount of sugar that we do today. It causes inflammation in your body, heart disease, diabetes, liver disease, and cancer. And Elon said,
I had hollow French toast for breakfast in Memphis.
Oh, man. Elon's in denial of the sugar thing. Peter Sweden says, unreal. It's now being revealed that Dr. Fauci just made up the 6 feet social distancing and face mask rules. There is no evidence to support it. The truth is coming out.
And Elon said, yeah.
Lex Friedman said, here's my conversation with Roman Yampolsky, AI safety researcher, who believes that the chance of AGI eventually destroying human civilization is 99.9999%.
And Elon said, so you're telling me there's a chance.
And Elon said, the tote bag. And this is the trust and safety tote bag, I guess, from OpenAI. So this news report breaking, former President Trump says he would declassify the Epstein, JFK and September 11th files if elected in 2024. And Elon says needs to amp up security and have a VP who is super based. So the incentive to punch his ticket is low. Oh, that's quite a tweet. Elon says civilization is careening towards dystopia / utopia.
Wow.
Quite a week in the Twitter.
In the Twitterverse.
Twitterverse. All right. Time for community mail time.
Community mail time.
Let's see what's out there in the community verse.
Mark spotted this orange wrapped Model 3 in Branchburg, New Jersey.
Mark also saw this Circa Resort and Casino Cybertruck in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Barbara spotted this 2012 Fisker Karma in Scotts Valley, California.
That's a pretty car. Adam saw this ludicrous Model 3 at the Tesla Service Center in Mulgrave, Victoria, Australia.
James spotted this Hummer EV in Bowern, Texas.
Jamie spotted this wrapped Cybertruck in Fort Worth, Texas.
Alan spotted this electric cab in Austin, Texas.
Luis saw this Rivian Amazon van in Berlin, Germany.
Aaron spotted this Canoe EV in West Valley, Utah.
Brian saw this Foundation Series Cybertruck parked outside Brown Motors in Petoskey, Michigan.
What is it doing there?
Come on down to Ford and get yourself a Cybertruck.
Bob spotted this EV Harley Davidson charging at the Tesla superchargers in Zevenaar, Netherlands. I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't either. Brian saw this Marble Model 3 in San Dimas, California.
That's pretty cool. Really cool. And Chris sent us these pictures of the Tesla Diner construction progress.
Oh, it's almost there.
Oh my gosh.
That's so awesome. All right, it's time for the Cybertruck reviews. Let's see what's out there in the world.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. My name is Andy. I'm coming to you from Maple Grove, Minnesota. This is the new... I'm saying hello to my wife who's supporting me and sending you this. Coming to you from Maple Grove, Minnesota. This is a new Superchargers. They just opened, I think, maybe yesterday or today, actually. This is October 6th, 2022. We are at Target. Maple Grove, Minnesota. Get my damn big head out of the way. You can see we're at Target. And we're looking at a version 3 supercharger. And here's my baby, my Model 3 Performance. And you know, it's a good place. The only problem I would have with this stop is that the traffic. It's really hard to back into. You kind of have to do some stunt backing and makes it kind of hazardous, but that's the only bad thing about this place is the traffic. It's really high traffic, not the best place, but it is right off of I-94 going west to St. Cloud, Minnesota. So it's a good place to pull off. It's really close to the highway. And if you need emergency care, it's right very close to Maple Grove Hospital, which is right back over this way. I love your channel and love the information you guys post. And keep it coming, guys. Love you. Bye.
I'm here at the Tifton, Georgia 9-stall supercharger. 10-stall supercharger. One is faced the direction for trailers. I got here 10% charge, and the highest I've seen is high 90s kilowatts. Been here for quite a bit. The only restrooms nearby are if you're a dog, field behind me. If you're a human, the tall grass fields on the other side of the, what's it called? Spring Hill Suites by Marriott. If you want to eat, there is an Olive Garden. If you want any sort of convenience store at all, you go way across big roads. This place worked, and my dog liked it. So, 5 out of 10.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, it's me, Madeline. I'm here in Napoli, North Italy at a new 8-stall V3 supercharger. We are near a mall, La Porta di Napoli. And there is a movie theater, a parking mall, and there is, conveniently, a McDonald's right across the way, somewhere. I haven't really been to it. Anyways, I'd say the supercharger is about a 7 out of 10 because there's a lot of walking, but in Italy, there's usually a lot of walking. So it's what you'd expect. So that's pretty much it. Bye.
A lot of walking in Italy. I love it. Also, don't go to the McDonald's if you're in Italy. Like, come on, you're in Italy. Those are great, though. Thank you so much, everybody. All right, it's time to see what the new superchargers are in the world. What do we got?
There's actually a lot of them.
Really?
So much for all
really?
This, like, FUD of people. Oh, he's getting rid of the superchargers, don't you know? Number 164 in South Korea is the 6-stall in Osan at Moda Outlet in South Korea.
Number 2 in Luxembourg, that's where I learned to walk, is the 16-stall version 4 in Luxembourg Urban.
Number 121 in Germany is the 8-stall version 4 in Sittensen, Germany.
There's the 8-stall in Wellington, Utah.
Number 188 in France is the 26-stall version 4 in Remy, France.
Number 5 in Puerto Rico is the 8-stall in Guaynabo, Puerto Rico.
Number 115 in Japan is the 6-stall in Yokohama.
Number 18 in Thailand is the 6-stall in Wang Noi.
Number 139 in the United Kingdom is the 12-stall version 4 in Exeter.
You get the 3-stall in Shenyang, China.
The 2-stall 120 kilowatt in Yili, China.
You get the 6-stall in Nanning, China.
The 3-stall in Nanning, China.
We have number 11 in Nebraska, the 8-stall in Lexington, Nebraska.
The 4-stall in Haifei, China.
The 3-stall in Changji, China.
The 3-stall in Yongcheng, China.
And number 2078 in China, the 4-stall 120 kilowatt in Zhengjiang.
Number 161 in Texas is the 8-stall in Baytown, Texas.
Number 28 in Utah is the 20-stall in South Salt Lake.
The 12-stall in Newark, California.
Number 19 in Delaware is the 12-stall in Newcastle, Delaware.
And number 459 in California. Number 2,276 in the United States. Number 6,413 in the world is the 12-stall in Universal City, California.
Wow.
So there are a lot of superchargers in the world, actually. Thank you. Those are the new ones, by the way. I was showing someone the Cybertruck this week, and I pulled up the map of supercharge.info.
Just red dots everywhere.
By the way, thank you to supercharge.info for keeping all of this. Not only is it a map with dots on it, right, which would be great and is great, and I use it all the time. It also has information about superchargers that are being built, that are permitted. It has links that go off to forums and stuff. So if you're like interested in a new supercharger that's coming near you, there's one coming to Lowell. I keep going on there, and there's people who are talking about it. So it's really a nice... I'm just giving them a free plug because, I mean, they really deserve it.
Yeah,
awesome.
Go support them.
Because you pull out that map and you show the United States, it looks like the United States has broken out with some kind of pox.
Most people don't know what you're talking about when you talk about supercharging, and most people don't know that it takes hours to charge a car.
Exactly. No, it's one of the first questions you get is like, so how long does it take to charge? And you say, well, overnight I can charge to full, and then in the morning if I'm going for a long trip, there's these superchargers, and there's what, 2,000 of them in the United States.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, no, but I just think, you know, we've been saying it for so long that I think we forget that most people still don't know it. And it's your job too. Go out there, tell your coworkers, your family, your friends that charging an electric car, a Tesla mostly, can happen in 20 minutes while you have a coffee.
Exactly.
Like that changes their brain goes, wait, oh, that changes everything. Because I think a lot of them still think it takes all day.
Yeah, no, and it's been really interesting driving the Cybertruck for the past month or whatever and talking to so many people because so many people will come up and want to talk about it. You know, I used to think it was amazing when we were driving the Model X, and then I thought it was amazing when we were driving the Model 3 and the Model Y. Like, it was just like, oh, I'm changing people's minds. Now with the Cybertruck, I don't even have to like hope that they're going to look at it because you have to look at it. It's mandatory for any human brain.
It's so great because so many smiling people just come up to us when we're riding. Or wave at us and give us a thumbs up. So it is changing everything. I love it.
Yeah. And I want to thank you guys for watching. Watching our show every week is It's just, I think it's so important to be up on this news. It changes so quickly, and there's so much exciting stuff that's actually coming down the pike. It's nice to have some stuff to look forward to. I know that there's oftentimes lots of strife and you know, unhappiness, but it's really cool to be thinking about Neuralink and Starlink and what that's doing for places in the world that we don't typically think about, and also people in the world that we don't typically think about all that often. So I think that it's really, really important stuff. And so is electric transportation. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Now you know.